got on Cassie and Candace. So one of my producers, Christine, came to me and said I absolutely had to have them come on. I said, okay, what's their dumb nerd thing? And she said, One Direction. And I said, I'm going One Direction. Out the door. Cassie and Candace run this blog called Adult Fans of One Direction that's dedicated to members of that band and being fans of them past teenagerdom. What's pretty fun with this fandom is that it's a niche element of a mega fandom. Essentially, adult fans of One Direction are small but mighty, and they stick together. I go over their journey down this road with them, and it culminates in a pretty insane story never before shared publicly. It's a dumb nerd thing exclusive involving one of the band members themselves. That's right, so stick around. Big thanks to Cassie and Candace for coming on, and also thanks to producer Christine for helping out with this episode. Enjoy.
You want me to go first, Cass?
Yeah.
Okay, my name is Candace. I'm 32 years old, and I am a massive fan of One Direction.
My name is Kathy. I am 31 years old, and I am also a massive fan of One Direction. And we are the adult fans of One Direction.
The adult fans of One Direction.
Fondly known as A-Food, also A-Food Nation.
What's that?
Our Tumblr is Adult Fans of One Direction, also known as A-Food. And then our beautiful little kingdom of friends and followers is A-Food Nation. A-Food Nation, baby.
Also, since both of our names start with a C, we often sign off on our posts CNC Music Factory, which is how some people refer to us in the Tumblr sphere.
That is incredible. I never knew I had such close connections with huge celebrities.
I mean,
believe it, baby.
You better believe it. Have we been stopped for photos before?
Yes, once. We have. I believe twice in the same night.
Twice?
Thank you.
What? What happened?
To be fair, we were like in our element. It was at the Harry Styles concert at the Chicago Theater. And when concerts happen, you kind of post online. You're like, we're going to be, you know, roughly in this section. We're going to be wearing XYZ. Say hi if you follow us, or like send us a message and we'll keep an eye out for you too. And so sometimes you definitely like, people will message you back and say, oh, I'm this username. I'm going to be here. Like, say hi too. And you'll say hi that way. But since we had posted like what we were wearing, these girls were like, are you Cassie and Candace? And we were like, we are.
Yeah, oh, and they asked for a picture with us, because they're like, you're our favorite vlog. And then the same night, though, we were crossing the street, and those two girls were like, Cassie and Candace! And we, like, turned around, and we had no idea who these people were. And they're like, we love you guys, you're the best. Oh, so that's, like, that's very sweet. That's a nice
That's a peak right there.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Wow. Okay, so I'm very unfamiliar with all this One Direction stuff. It's only happened in the background of my life, you know, hearing tales, whispers, if you will, of the fangirl.
Of a force unknown.
A force unknown out there crying out in anguish. But so when exactly did they start, and when did you get interested in them? Or was that at the same time?
It was not at the same time. Cassie, why don't you tell how the band started?
I would
love to.
And
I will tell how we got into the band.
The whale of a tale. So they really started on the X Factor UK in 2010. They had all auditioned. A couple of them had auditioned multiple times, but they had all auditioned to be solo artists. And they were all cut as solo artists. And then as the producers were talking, now Simon Cowell will take credit for this, but I do believe it was Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls who actually had the idea of, we love these five boys, put them in a group together, you can't get rid of them. And she fought for them. And so they went and put them in a group together. And they still had to go through several levels of audition process to continue to be a band to perform on the live shows and get the nation to vote for them. And really, because they were on that show where so much was on the internet immediately afterwards and so much of the voting process happened online, even while they were still on the X Factor, they kind of already were becoming this internet global sensation of like, this is the new boy band. And so we're already really well known by the time they got to the finale. They finished famously third on the actual show. They did not win, but obviously they had caused such a huge like moment in the X Factor and like already in the world with fans. They immediately got together and signed a record deal with Psycho, which is Simon Cowell's management.
And record label. That's a very unfortunate name.
Oh, isn't it? You know,
it will come to be a recurring theme. So they, within a year, they put out their first album. They recorded with like huge superstars like Max Martin, Sevan Koteka, who are like huge. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Sevan. Huge juggernauts in the pop music writing and producing world. Like every song you've loved in the pop world for the last 25 years is by Max Martin. Hit Me
Max
Baby
Martin,
One Time.
Yeah, sorry Max to interrupt. Martin. He also like majorly produced 1989, which was Taylor Swift's like magnum opus, basically. Anyway, go ahead, Cassie.
Yeah, so they like, that's the amount of like effort they're putting into this band. So they come out with that album and it just kind of explodes from there. And that's 2011 that first album comes out, and they really kind of start taking the world by storm. Their first SNL appearance is 2012. Like, it really just all kind of starts taking off from there.
I'm just like curious because there are so few things that come out of those types of shows that actually become very successful. Like Kelly Clarkson, kind of Chris Daughtry. Mm-hmm. I don't know who, like, it's crazy to think of such a huge megastar coming out of there. I don't know, was it just that they had the X Factor, or like, what do you think took them to the next level?
It is, but I'd also say that from becoming a fan of One Direction, I've learned a lot more about like the UK's pop culture. And there's actually been a lot more stars, at least like UK and European stars, that have come out of the X Factor. I feel like they have a lot more success over there. It's a lot harder to break in the American music business than it is in the like the UK and Europe. So there are a lot of really big acts that have come out of the British X Factor who like we don't really know over here, but that are like mega celebrities over there. So I think it's also a mix of like, it's just, I think, a little, not easier, but I think they put a lot more stock in shows like The X Factor still. Like, we used to put stock in, like, when Kelly Clarkson came out. The dog's barking. It's okay.
I don't know how to mute myself.
It's okay. So I'll also say, I think that, like, it's still a phenomenon over there, The X Factor. Like, it's not really over here. But also, yeah, they do have The X Factor. If you think about, especially, like, Harry Styles, who's, like, a star in his own right. Even if you don't know anything about One Direction, you know who Harry Styles is because he has like kind of a once in a generation pop star charisma. So I would argue it's a marriage of the two.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I didn't know that about the X Factor over there. When did you guys hop on?
So we hopped on, it was November of 2014, I believe. Cassie, feel free to correct me on that date. You're better with dates than I am.
100% correct.
November 2014. So like the story is, the mythology of us getting into One Direction is one day at work, I was looking at tickets for Cassie for her birthday for the 1989 Taylor Swift tour. And I was like, oh my gosh, nosebleeds for this would be like $400 with fees for us to go to the show together. That's wild. And I was talking to my coworker at the time and she's like, oh, I know I was looking at tickets for One Direction at Soldier Field for my daughter and it's the same and I just feel like we can't swing it. And I'm saying to her, like, it's either that's your whole Christmas if I get you this for Christmas, basically. So then afterwards I walk over to Cassie's house because this is the time where my job was like a block away from Cassie's house, because we used to hang out after work all the time. And we were talking, and I said to her, you know, my coworker was telling me like how much her daughter's into One Direction. Ha ha ha, LOL. I don't think I could pick more than one of those members out of a lineup. And Cassie's like, oh my gosh, really? Let's like show you pictures so you know who One Direction are. Like I was like you, Teddy. Like I knew who they were and I knew like what makes you beautiful. But other than that, I had zero, absolutely zero know-how of them as people. And so she pulls up the Steal My Girl music video. And we start watching it, and I was like, what is this? And, like, Danny DeVito's there, and, like, all these fun, like, this amazing pop song. And I was like, whoa, this is One Direction? Because in my head, I'd still seen them as, like, these little babies who are singing What Makes You Beautiful, which is an amazing song. It's on my running mix for forever. Like, I love that song. And so she and I were both like, this is great. So we watched a couple more videos that night at her house. And I was like, well, I really like this song. So I started listening to Steal My Girl a bunch. And I feel like Cassie did as well. And then I started listening to that whole album. And I was like, this is a really good album. This is so great. And then I like made the mistake of going on Tumblr and starting like looking at their stuff and looking at like YouTube videos of them. And I was like, they're so charming and lovely. And this music is so great. And before you knew it, Cassie and I were like sucked into this vortex of One Direction.
It is fondly known as down the 1D rabbit hole of like one day you look up like, I just want to know their names. And so you watch a video on YouTube and then somehow it's several hours later and you're like, I would die for them. And that's kind of how it was. And like I had known, you know, right when they kind of broke in the US, I have always loved boy bands and just like have a real soft spot for like big shimmery pop culture and pop music. And so I had kind of followed them. Like I knew their names. And so that's like when we were showing to Candace, I was like, this is Niall. He is Irish. He plays the guitar and he thinks it's really important that he plays the guitar.
It is important that he plays the guitar, Cassie.
I know it is now. And like at that time, it was like the week after their 2014 AMAs moment had happened. And it was just like they came out and like their styling was impeccable. And it was kind of like a little bit of a moment where the world kind of recognized that they were a little bit more grown up. Like Zayn had this like crybaby Johnny Depp, like big hair,
tendril and,
like,
of hair in front of his
single
face.
Tendril. It's the first time Harry wears, you know, something a little bit more outlandish. So yeah, it was just kind of the perfect moment of us diving down that rabbit hole.
They kind of fell into, they were like the perfect, they're the peak of what type of music you were already into.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think I would have gotten into them when they first were famous, like just based on like What Makes You Beautiful and like how like young they were. And just like, I think if I had like looked into them a little more at that time, I don't think that I would have been like, oh, this is like my new thing. I think I would have just been like fun and moved on. So I feel like we also, for our age at the time, we were like, what? How old were we in 2014? 27?
So young.
26.
25 and 26.
So it was like, we still felt old. They were like 20, 21, 22, 23. Like they were still like significantly younger than us, but not in like a creepy way. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, that's not creepy.
I think if someone had tried to introduce them to me in 2011, I would have been like, cool, and moved on. But so I think we hit them at the perfect time. Like they had dropped Four, which was their album at the time, which I think is personally their best album cohesively, like overall.
Which album?
Four, F-O-U-R. It's my favorite album of theirs, I think maybe just because that's what I first started listening to of theirs. And I listened to it constantly, like on repeat. So I think we hit them at the perfect time, although not necessarily, Cassie, because what happened like a month to the day after we made our blog?
So we made our Tumblr. We had been following them on Tumblr.
Before we get to there, there's a big step between listening to it on your runs and making a blog dedicated to the band, right? That feels
honestly,
like a jump.
So like when we say down the 1D rabbit hole, like I think like there has to be, it's such a common experience because truly, like, you go from I just want to know their names to I would die for them within about 3 hours. And like, I know that it sounds really funny, but like, so many people share that experience of like, you hear Night Changes on the radio and you're like, oh, this is nice. What's this all about? And then suddenly 3 hours later, you know everything about them or need to know everything about them. So that night that we really went down that rabbit hole, she and I then had this shared interest and kind of a shared vocabulary of like, here's another funny moments video of them on a press tour for this dumb thing. And how funny is this? And
their fifth perfume they've come out with in 2 months.
We're like, look at this. And like, I recorded, there was like a special that was happening on NBC for their album. And I recorded it and Candace came over and, you know, it was really, like, really kind of fast and furious to from November growing and increasing in our interest. And then by the time it's February, we thought that our exchanges about them and like what was going on, their stadium tour had just kicked off at the beginning of February. And as that was starting to happen, we were getting more and more active on Tumblr just from our own perspective accounts and communicating to each other about like, oh my God, did you see Harry wearing a sheer shirt on stage in the Philippines, maybe? I can't remember. It's sad to me that I can't remember anymore which date he wore that shirt on, but
an infamous shirt. It's an infamous shirt.
Are you even a fan?
Am I even? This is, are yeah, this a dumb nerd like a about this?
We should know. Turn our cards in, our card carrier. Yeah. We are no longer card carrying members.
Yeah. But like, we were like, we're funny enough that we could be on Tumblr. We're funny enough that like, maybe we can like have a little community. Like there's people out there who have, you can tell they just have thousands and thousands of followers. And we were like, well, we at least want to be in the community. So then we created a Tumblr called Adult Fans of One Direction. Just one random weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this was just to join the community, to find other people that like it and share facts and fun things about it.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask how that ball got rolling into getting more people and finding people. How do you find a community online?
Well, I had a desire too, because at the time, Cassie and I were the only people our age who we knew. Like, we had the same perception that I think a lot of people had of One Direction at the time, which is like, if you like them, you must be a 13-year-old girl, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, that's their target audience, obviously, from like a marketing standpoint. But we were like, are we the only people over the age of like 21 who love them? And so I was like, well, let's like make a Tumblr that says it in the name and see if other people find us. And honestly, people have Googled Adult Fans of One Direction, and it like our blog is like one of the first things that come up when we have found so many people because of that. But we almost instantaneously found people when we made that blog, and we're like, oh, we're one, far from the oldest people who love them. And two, which again is totally fine. And two, we found like a bunch of people around our age or a little older that were like, we're so glad there's a community of people who don't feel like stupid for liking this thing that we're told we're not supposed to like anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to like anymore. So from my perspective, it was from a desire to be like, well, you know, some of our friends like tolerate us talking about it, you know, but we would like to talk to people who enjoy them as much as we do. So I think it was like a desire to just find people our age who we could communicate with as well.
Is there like another next level accompanying blog, like geriatric fans of One Direction?
There isn't, but there should be.
Yeah. And you know what? There probably are. Like,
you guys will get there eventually. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we can keep changing the name.
Middle-aged Harry fans of One Direction.
Fans of One Direction, coming for all of us.
So, way back, 1 month to the day after you guys made it, something happened.
Oh, what? Guess what happened a month to the day after we made our? When we're like, we're here. This is gonna last forever.
At a stadium tour, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Zayn could leave the band. He could yeet himself right out of One Direction.
And they could announce it for this what was at the time one of the best-selling, highest-grossing bands in the entire world, record-breaking tour sales, that they would announce it via a note on Facebook.
Wow. Did anybody see this coming?
We did it, I feel like, because we were newer. I feel like, though, a lot of people who had been immersed for a very long time were like, yes, we saw this coming.
Yeah. And retrospectively, like, you can see how unhappy he was. And there's a lot of good reason for the exhaustion and for being tired and feeling that it was unsustainable. So, like, in retrospect, you can see a lot of the reasoning, the way that it was done overall. It wasn't probably the best, but that happened a month to the day after we made our blog, which was, we were worried it was the beginning of the end, and it was far from it. So,
yeah.
So,
but it was a dark day for all of us. I made a playlist on Spotify, like jokingly, but also serious, of like all the saddest songs I could find.
It's called Zane. Why?
It's called Zane, comma, why? Question mark. And it's still there. It's still on my Spotify playlist. And sometimes I listen to it thinking of a dark day.
So Zane obviously is one of the members of One Direction. And like, when you're a fan of One Direction, capital O, capital D, quotes around it, are there like specific members that you're more a fan of, or that like people are only fans of? Like, break down the members and how people in the fandom see each member.
Oh, I would love to. Cassie, you take some, I'll take some.
Perfect. So you have a favorite. And so One Direction 2, we'll also probably talk about this, of like,
there's,
it is known
a One Direction 2?
Also, there is in a lot in Tumblr and online speak, there's OTP, which is your one true pair. And so in shorthand for One Direction, for many years, they've been referred to as OT5, as the one true five, of like, they're destined to be together, they're best friends, they're brothers. And so when Zane left,
Tiny's face.
So when Zane left, it became OT4, and there was a little bit of a kind of a fraction in the fandom of between, are you OT5, like you're only a fan of them as the five members, or are you OT4 and you almost prefer them as just the four members? And so there's kind of those preferences and preference lines. Candace and I would consider ourselves OT4, but that's mostly because at the time that we came in, Zane was already fairly checked out, and we weren't really, you know, feeling the vibe from that. Which, again, understandable. He was overworked and exhausted. But also the majority of our fandom of when they were a band was them as four members. So we are OT4. So that being said, your favorite member also calls to you. Like,
mm-hmm. He chooses you. You do not choose him.
Yeah. You have no say in the matter. Like, I thought my favorite was Liam. Like, even as we entered into the fandom and like while they were on the periphery, I was like, Liam's my favorite. He's so handsome. What a goober. But that wasn't my truth. Like, we love Liam. He's a delight. He has a beautiful singing voice. He is just very traditionally handsome. But my truth was that Harry Styles, who has been the, like, he's been the little special, like, golden boy since day one. Like, I think Candace, when we started, you were like, outside of Harry, I can't name any of them, right? Like, you knew him. And he called to me, like, I was just unable to resist his little beautiful siren song of alien, fey, majestic beauty.
And I'll say too, so if we want to break down the members as well. So you've got the traditional five members, and I'm going to break them down to you in the way that they were marketed. They have since, you know, we saw them originally as like these cardboard cutout people that, you know, if you have a type of guy, right? And it happens in all boy bands. So you have Louis Tomlinson, who is, I would say he is like the least famous of all of them. And when he originally joined, I was like, who's this guy? He seems like the throwaway member. And I have since come to really love him. He's the oldest. And he was marketed kind of as like the mischievous, kind of fun-loving, goofy, prankster, cute one. Like very...
Pan.
Yeah, he had a very Peter Pan energy. Very, you know, always had a glint in his eye, always playing pranks.
He's Michelangelo.
Yes.
Yeah. He does love pizza.
But I would say he probably had the least amount of fans, which I think is unfortunate because he is, I think, a very talented songwriter, a very talented singer, performer. So that's Louis. A lot of Louis girls, incidentally, I don't want to get in trouble for this, but I feel like a lot of Louis girls are queer and identify as like bisexual or queer or gay in some way. That's just been my experience. I don't know if that's the truth, but that's just been like what I've seen. That's Louis. Then you have Liam, who was like, I think they originally thought he was going to be the Harry Styles. He has an amazing voice. He is very, very traditionally handsome. He kind of looks like a puppy dog, especially when he was younger. He had this like shaggy, curly hair. He's very cute. He vocally, I think, is like the strongest, most consistent member of the band, and really like held down those vocals. A lot of Liam girls like the nice guy. He's like the nice guy, the responsible one, kind of the dad of the group. So that's kind of how
a jock too.
Kind of a jock, yeah. Kind of like a. Are we Ninja Turtling them, by the way?
Yes, I am. What's happening? I'm doing that.
Love
for
this
me
for us.
So that I can.
However you need to understand them is however you need to understand them.
I don't want to put them in a box, but I gotta...
No, we're putting them in a box right now.
what Ninja Turtle does that make him?
Leonardo.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and traditionally kind of seen as like the official leader of the group.
Daddy Direction
was his nickname, and not in a sexy way, although sometimes in a sexy way, but more in like a dad's gonna make sure we all get to the concert on time, right? Dad, thanks, Dad. Yeah,
that turn around.
And actually, in folk fandom lore, Louis and Liam originally did not get along at all because Louis was always joking around and playing pranks, and Liam was very rigid and like uptight, and originally Liam saw Louis as like not taking it seriously. And so they did not get along at all at first, but they are since become like extremely, extremely close. And so that's good to know. But anyway, kind of their personalities playing out. Then we have Zane, who was like the mysterious bad boy, one of the most beautiful people who's ever been born. Very shy, brooding. He's an artist, although he just does like graffiti. Not that that's not real art, but also, is he an artist? He just spray paints words on walls.
and doodles prolifically.
He doodles a lot. And a lot of, I think, his shyness, his mysteriousness, his broodingness, which was originally marketed, was actually, he has since talked about how he has like extreme stage fright. He's like extremely shy, has a lot of anxiety. And I would also say, like, I also want to add that he is it Pakistani? So he's Pakistani, so he's the only member of color in One Direction. And I also think that there's a bit of that, like, oh, mysterious bad boy that's kind of like this racist coding a little bit that got thrown on him because he is the only member of One Direction who's a person of color. So that's a little problematic and stuff that he kind of experienced throughout his time in One Direction. Mm-hmm. Which like really blows. Yeah, which really blows for him. Then we have my personal favorite, Niall Horan. I'm wearing a Niall Horan shirt right now, who was marketed as the Irish one, the blonde one, the guitar player. And he would often play guitar like on stage. And the like lovable, goofy, everyone's little brother, sweet, touched in the brain, a little precious little angel child. Although it's funny because everyone thought him as a stupid one, and I would actually argue he's like the smartest member of the band. So it shows you how much their marketing goes. He's like one of the most politically informed, smartest
maybe
member,
possibly like of the band. Like a Donatello type.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Perhaps.
And then there's Harry Styles, who was the kind of the all-star perfect, like, pop star, loves being in the spotlight, is very charming and enigmatic, and like just has that thing about him that you just like can't not notice him.
Dimples, curls, green eyes, and that X factor of just being a magical boy.
Yeah. So I'm sorry that was really long, but those are the members.
No, it's good for people to know because
they were marketed.
Harry would be April.
What's that? Oh,
Harry April. Would be April.
Gotcha. Yeah. There was a fifth turtle. It was Venus de Milo that was in the TV show. Her only personality trait was that she was a girl.
Isn't that all of our first? That's my personality trait.
This whole thing is about I am a girl.
Her personality traits were she was a girl and she was a big fan of One Direction.
That's Harry Styles.
So
yeah, almost everybody has their fave that they love.
When you say that's what they were marketed as, was there like a turning point where they were like, okay, this is what we were marketed as early on, but now we're going to be our real selves and our real selves are different from how we were marketed? Or is that just like when you get to know more, you actually see... I'm going to compare this to professional wrestling.
Sure.
Real quick.
Yep.
You have like people that act as like villains or people that have like wild personalities on stage. And then if you're watching the TV show of wrestling, you'll always see that personality. But if you like follow the wrestler on Twitter or like watch an interview with them or something like that, like out of the big public sight, then you'll see their real personality, but they'll never break that kayfabe of like their onstage personality. You know what I mean? So you'll only find out about who they really are if you are a big fan. So is that kind of how you find out more, is by breaking through and becoming more of a fan and seeing kind of inside baseball, like behind the scenes, how it works. But like there's a front of their personality, or how does it all work with finding out who they really are?
I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it, because I don't think that they, and I think one of the reasons they had so much draw even throughout their entire lifespan is how authentic they were to themselves. But I do think that the marketing around them and the tabloid coverage around them cast a really powerful image to people that I think that when you're in the fandom, you see a lot more clearly kind of their true selves. And I do think that there was kind of a turning point where they took the narrative back from being so hyper stylized and so groomed to be a specific way and to present those images. And I think that really came hand in hand with them taking ownership of the music that they were writing and creating. Even starting on the second album, and especially on the third, fourth, and really the fifth, they wrote so much, and even the majority of their music, lyrically, musically, working with the same kind of team, so that they were really in control of that. And I think that's when some of the presenting turned around from, you know, I'm not going to be wearing suspenders and bow ties every time you see me performing anymore. I'm going to wear what I want to wear, which is an Adidas tracksuit. And that's great, because that's authentic to me being from Northern Ireland. That's Louis, for example. And I think that it does take a certain amount of like really being in the fandom to see those true personalities, like you might see with wrestlers. Like Harry Styles was painted as a womanizer from day one, because a 35-year-old presenter on TV had decided... How old was she at the time, Candace?
I think she was 32. I think she was my age, which when I think about that, Harry Styles was 16 when he was on the show. It makes me want to throw up. Anyway, go ahead, Cassie.
So he was presented as a womanizer, and I believed that to be true. Like, when he started dating Taylor Swift, I was like, oh, Taylor, no, he'll rip your heart out. He's a womanizer. Like, that's what I thought and believed all the way until we really became in the fandom. But he was painted this way because this 32-year-old woman had entered into, she had pursued him and entered into a romantic sexual relationship with him at 16.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
And she's very open about it. Harry has unfortunately also had to be open about it. The UK is very different in both their laws and their discussion around things like that. I think, you know, regardless of whether or not that's legal, I think it's really upsetting and I think it's wrong. But
especially, you know, at the time, because he was a nobody and she was famous too. So he wasn't even like Harry Styles yet. He didn't have the money or the power or the fame. He was just a kid on a reality television show. So I think, like, it also adds this layer of power that, like, not that it would have been okay if he was more famous, but it's just another layer of power that I think he was really taking advantage of. Anyway, keep going, Cassie.
Yeah. So that's a super complicated, kind of really difficult thing to look at from the beginning of their fandom, but that the media still to this day really sweepingly carries away and paints him as someone who just has a way with the ladies and the older ladies, especially. You know, if he was dating a girl 2 years older than him, they'd be like, oh, Harry Styles is back at it again. And it's like, well, he's 23 and she's 25. I don't, there's like, this is different than a 32-year-old woman grooming him. And it takes, I think it took us really being in the fandom and seeing interviews and learning, you know, the details around that. Like, I had known in 2012, oh, he dated a TV presenter who was older than him. I didn't know how much older. I didn't know the power dynamics. I didn't know anything. I just believed that he was, you know, a little Lothario. And it's really upsetting to see the ways that that has happened to Zayn, you know, painting him as uncooperative and terrible when really he was having crippling anxiety. The way that that's happened to Louis, of people will still say to me, oh, who's the deadbeat dad? Who's that? And it's like, oh, Louis has given, in the past years, there was a standard that came out that Louis has donated, I think, 20% of his entire net worth to charity. And how personal and private he was about a lot of that. And so it's a really interesting thing to be in the fandom and to celebrate them and to know, or to have a pretty good idea of who they are for real, and not just the characters that they play outwardly. And I think that's been a really interesting dynamic throughout the entire 5 years that we've been following them, of how that plays out and how those perceptions change.
Yeah. Or finding out about, like, how I talked about how Liam was the responsible one. He's the one who has, like, everything together. You can always count on Liam, and has since come out and said, like, I had a drinking problem by the end of our time as a band because I was so stressed out. I was so overworked, and I was probably drunk half the time I was on stage because I was so just tired. And but you're not allowed to talk about that because you're supposed to be the responsible one and the good boy. And so, yeah, it is kind of sad thinking about how they put out an album like once a year, every year, which is like, and then they toured that album and they made the next album while they were on the tour from the previous album. Like, those boys were like worked to the bone. And it's nice to see them now, because by the end of the time that they're in the band, I don't think Cassie and I had been around enough to know, like, oh, they're like tired, because now they seem so much healthier and so much happier that they can control their lives and their careers a little bit more, their schedules a little bit more, because they really, you know, boy bands have traditionally, they have a time limit, and you gotta work them for all they are, and you gotta get that money out of them while they're still young, and then you're gonna toss them aside. So yeah, it's nice now to see them feeling a little more like in control of their own lives, but they still, at their core, I would say, feel very similar to who they were when we first became fans of them.
Yeah, it's interesting with, like, being a big fan, big nerd about, like, real people that both that are real, genuine, alive people right now living their lives, while also they put out like this persona that you are a fan of and is connected to who they are. Because, like, I'm sure, like who their persona is somewhat drawn out of who they are. But it's just, it's interesting. It's hard to make those meet, I guess. So, I mean, that I imagine that's where you, like, find that more of that dedication to be a big fan, is when you find the more of the real humanity behind it. once it was Zane that left, right? Okay.
Yeah, Zane.
Are you getting me mixed up?
You did it.
So once Zane left, and you guys continued the blog and continued being fans, and the band just continued, didn't just kept on going. And did Zane have a solo career? Do people follow that? Do you guys follow that?
How's that? So Zane, it caused some controversy because Zane was in the studio like 2 days after he left the band. He was like photographed leaving a studio. So there's a kind of an uproar being like, you said you were leaving because you needed time off. And it sounds like now you want to have the solo career. And Zane does have a solo career now. He had a huge hit, his first hit, Pillow Talk, which came out in, I think, 2016, was huge on the radio for about 6 months. And it was a very good, like, kind of R&B pop song. He had a couple more hits. His second album, Icarus Falls, which is ironically named, considering the fact that the album did not do very well. But I think part of his... It's a really long album. It didn't sell a lot of units, but I think part of Zane's problem is that he does suffer from that anxiety, and he doesn't perform really. He doesn't do press and he doesn't do tours, which nowadays to sell music, you can't just put something on streaming unless you're like Beyonce, but even then she still does tours, right? Yeah. So I think he's struggling a little in that. I don't think he wants to go back to that rigorous mark, like that rigorous publicity, you know, set that a lot of celebrities have to do. But I think it is kind of his career a little is suffering from that. But he did go on to release an album pretty soon after he left the band. But the boys, the OT4, they continued on, and they actually dropped, like, in the middle of their tour after Zane left, they dropped a song called Drag Me Down, like in the middle of the night with no marketing. And it's like a really great kind of bombastic pop song. That kind of, I think they were coming out and saying like, we're still here. We're still going to make music. Like, we're still together. We're still going strong. So yeah, they released
for another six months.
Funnily enough, Cassie and I were on the way to the first and only time we saw them as a band, which we never got to see the five of them together. We only saw the four boys, but it was still a great show. We saw them at Soldier Field. Yeah. And on the way to the concert, it had leaked that they were like taking a break. Ooh. And it was like this big thing.
Jeez. What was the concert like?
The concert was so fun. So much screaming. I should have brought earplugs.
Yeah. I blacked out from joy. Like, there are sections of the concert that I do not remember because I was like, we were just screaming and dancing, and we were, you know, incidentally sat next to two fellow adult fans, one of whom Candace knew from her high school.
I went to high school with.
Wow.
She was like, I thought we were going to be the oldest people here. I'm so excited. And it was just like, we were really lucky that we got floor tickets, so our view was really amazing. It's just an energy. I love a stadium show. Like, there's just nothing like that. And really to see a stadium show of what was our favorite band, and I think will be our favorite band for a really long time. Even more so now that they're really on this indefinite hiatus. It was just a really, really special, amazing show. And we met up with a ton of people beforehand. It was like a little party.
Yeah. And we incidentally, the day before, had met. Mm-hmm. So two people had messaged, and we won't mention names because we haven't talked to them before this, but two people messaged us before, and they're like, so like, we're coming. They live in Milwaukee, and they're like, we're coming to Chicago, and we really love your blog. We've never talked to you before, and we understand if you never, ever want to meet up with us, but we would love to meet you guys in person, like go out to lunch. And Cassie and I were like, sure, why not? Like, it's two of us meeting two people in a public place. And in a week, Cassie and I are going to one of their bridal showers, socially distanced. So they became like some of our very closest friends. And we're like real life friends now with them and other people that they've introduced us to. So so we met up with them before the show. So it's weird to think that, like, oh my gosh, they're like my real life friend and I met them before this concert. So we do have a couple. We have another friend who lives out in New Jersey, or now maybe Connecticut. But anyway, another person who's like a real life friend of ours that we just like have met in person has come to visit us all this time. So
a friend that we had met through Tumblr who lives in Germany was doing a summer study program in Chicago. And so she stayed with me the night, like we hung out with her all the day. She like stayed with me after the concert. And she ended up going, like sitting with my friend Katie, who I knew from Chicago, who loved One Direction. So it just became this big, like, circle of friends of like from Germany and Milwaukee and everywhere, all united.
Yeah. And Cassie and I went to the UK with one of our friends from America she was like, I have extra tickets to the Harry Styles shows in London. Do you guys want to come? So we made it this huge thing. We went to London. We saw him in Manchester and London. We went to Edinburgh and then we met up with some of our UK friends. And then the next summer they came out to Chicago to our UK friends to stay with Cassie. And we had a couple days with them here in Chicago too. So we have like some cool people that we've met. But as far as the concert, I had never been to a stadium concert before. And there was like a big piece of wish fulfillment for me because I grew up in a family where I grew up in like a pretty like Christian family. And so I wasn't allowed to really go to concerts or like even really listen to mainstream music. I did it like, you know, kind of behind my parents' back. But I had never been able to go to like a Backstreet Boys show when they were big. I had never been able to go to like any of these shows. So for me, I was like, this is like what I wanted to do when I was young and I never got to. And now I get to. And it was so fun to be a part of that experience that I had never really gotten to be a part of. So it was really fun to just like completely let loose and be silly and fun. And they put on a great show. It was really fun. I'm really glad we got to see them because they are on a hiatus, but I honestly don't think they'll ever seriously get back together at this point, which is, you know, fair. So I'm really glad that we got to see them like in their heyday.
That's awesome. He left and then 6 months later they went on hiatus?
So he left. 5 months later they release A Song in the Middle of the Night and they announce that they'll be putting out their fifth studio album that November. And then they also simultaneously announce that the album will be followed by a hiatus. A year to 18 month hiatus.
It's been
a hiatus, a break.
How long has
they
it been?
They said it so many times.
Oh, it's been what, four years?
5 years.
5 years.
I mean, yeah, it'll be 5 years in December since they performed their last show together.
All men do is lie. That's all they do. They lie to me and they break my heart.
And that's also a fandom joke of One Direction taught us how to lie. Boy, the lies that those boys told over the years, just incredible stuff. But it's a fandom in joke, so it's not an insult.
Yeah, it's not an insult. There's a like one interview where both Louis and Harry had, you know, they mysteriously weren't at an interview the next day, and Liam says something like, oh yeah, they're both sick, and Niall just like gives this look to him like, that's a fucking lie, man. Like, it's like you can see them like calling each other out in interviews for just lying. And it's none of our business why they're not in the interview, but it's just funny that they're just like, let's just spin this shitty lie. Like, who cares? So yeah, they've been on hiatus since then, but they have since, at least I haven't really gotten into Louis or Liam's solo stuff, but Harry and Niall have both put out four total, but two each, really great solo albums, and are becoming kind of their stars in their own right. I think especially as a Niall girl, it's nice to see, because I think a lot of people really didn't really give Niall a lot of clout when he was in the band, vocally or musically, and he has since had like one of the biggest solo songs. He's had like one of the most successful solo songs of all of them. And now Harry, Watermelon Sugar is one of the songs of the summer. That's a great pop song. So it's really great to see them like overcome the the shitty expectations that people have of them because they're just a boy band and they're not really talented and they're not really artists.
I want to note for any audio listeners, there were air quotes around all of those.
So just in case I don't mean that. For you.
So that's kind of where we're at now with the fandom then. That's led us into today. Where do you guys sit with them now? Like, what do you see coming into the future? I mean, I guess who knows? Maybe the world's gone, but
freaking knows?
The world continues.
Well, yeah, I sigh a deep, heavy sigh because this year, you know, with Harry and Niall both releasing their albums, Harry at the tail end of 2019, Niall really at the front end of 2020. Niall actually released his album on March 13th, 2020, which in my mind is forever the date that like shit hit the fan. Like to me, that is the date that things like really shut down nationwide. And so poor Niall releases his second album, which is a really strong sophomore album. And we were supposed to see them at least both twice this summer. And so it's just really unfortunate, I think, that some of that, so much of what happens in fandom and what happens on Tumblr that we really can participate in is things that happen from, one, publicity and interviews that any of them do, and then two, especially when they're touring, there is just a flurry of activity of people sharing thoughts and feelings and reactions to whatever suit Harry's wearing, to whatever new song Niall covered tonight. Like, there's so much energy that happens in the fandom when that really goes on. And so it's compounded of they're not touring, there's not really any promo, and we're all kind of stuck in our houses. So even though they've both been doing some stuff, like Harry has been traveling the world and is just like showing up in Rome with a mustache. And Niall does like, I love it so much. Don't talk.
He rarely does something I don't agree with, and that mustache is numero uno.
Absolutely not. It's my favorite.
We're going to have a civil war in here.
We do.
We have disagreements about our feelings on them.
We do.
All, like, lovingly. So, yeah, it's just, like, a little bit sad. And, you know, Louis released his album, and that was a really hard fought. Louis had a lot of personal tragedy in his life in the last 5 years. His mom died at 43, very young, leaving behind him and his five siblings. His sister then died a year later at 19, and he still put out a full-length album and was supposed to go on his first tour. And the Louis supporters might be a little bit smaller, but they are probably the most like vocal. They're so supportive of him, and for good reason. He's been through a lot, and he's a really stand-up person. So it's also just disappointing that like these big things were supposed to be happening for them, who we love so much, and also for us to experience together as a fandom. And a lot of that's kind of on hold right now.
Yeah, it's such a bummer. During Harry's first tour, so Harry released his solo album. What was that, Cassie? 2017?
Yep.
His first 2017. And he did a smaller tour of like places like Chicago Theater, like smaller, which we were very lucky to be at. And then he did an arena tour, and he started wearing these amazing suits. So he worked a lot with a lot of designers, specifically Gucci, that made like these bespoke suits for him that were just became more outlandish, like, you know, wearing like a sheer glittery pink shirt with a huge, you know, bow tie and
Disco Willy Wonka.
A full jumpsuit that totally shows his package, and you're just like, Harry, what are you doing? Please wear underwear.
A dance belt.
But it became this thing on Tumblr where some nights I would just be like, I can't wait till someone posts a picture of what he's wearing, because they would just be more and more like outlandish and fun and flamboyant. And I miss that a little. It's just such a fun thing to see people like freaking out over what he's wearing. Niall is my favorite and will always be my favorite, but Harry does, like we said, inspire this like excitement. I think that's really rare in pop stars and artists. And again, is like a once in a generation kind of, charisma that he has. And like when we would be at a show, before the thing came up, would be like, what suit? We would like be like, what color is his suit going to be? And we would all take bets on it, you know, and it'd be like, is it going to be pink? Is it going to be sparkly? Like, it's just such a fun thing. And so, like Cassie said, it, the we're still on Tumblr, but we're not as active right now because there's not really a lot to really post about. There's not really a lot to interact with people. And unfortunately, I mean, I respect K-pop. I'm not really in that band, but a lot since One Direction has gone on hiatus, I think a lot of people miss that bandness, that mm-hmm. like seeing band members interact with each other. So a lot of people on our blog have slowly become like K-pop blogs mm-hmm. and like BTS blogs. And I have, yeah. again, I have a lot wow. of respect for that, those artists and that fandom, but it's just not something I really want to get in myself. I feel like I'm in too many, I've got, you know, there's too much going on up here. I'm like officially too old for it, but it is. So yeah, we do still talk to people. So I think actually a lot of our fandom interaction has become now the really close friends that we made. And now we just like actually text those people or WhatsApp those people. So that is a lot of kind of how I communicate now with folks in the fandom or people who we've like actually met and know really, really well, mm-hmm. who have some of whom have also become like K-pop people. like one of our closest friends, like is always tweeting things that I'm like, I don't get this. And then I'll really look at it and be like, oh, it's a K-pop thing. I don't have to even mm-hmm. try to understand like what she's yeah. talking about. So it's nice to have those really close friends, but it is sad to miss the excitement of them being on tour and them like releasing music. And again, it's sad when Nile released, like Cassie said, I think a very, very strong pop album that just kind of got completely ignored by like critics and fans alike for good reason, because it was like literally the week that everything shut down and the world started ending. But it's sad. It's just sad to see kind of that go away. And yeah, and Harry Styles was supposed to go on tour with Jenny Lewis, who's one of Cassie and I's personal faves. The fact that we're not going to see them like together is like the bummer of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the thing that's really fun is seeing also like the ways, like the relationships that they've all built. Like Niall has a lot of clout and a lot of collaborators who are like big names in pop music right now, like a song with Julia Michaels, a song with Ash, like Maren Morris, like these big names, especially female pop stars, which I love so much about, something that we've always loved about them. And I think this is really important, just like in the grand scheme of things, is the amount of respect they have always had for pop music and for their female fan base. They have never said anything disparaging of like, well, we're just making music for dumb girls. We're just famous with teenagers. And what does that matter? They have all vocally been supportive of the fact that just because women like something doesn't mean that it's anything lesser than. And I think that that's been really important, something that we've learned and even understood better of being in the fandom, of how often teenage girls are disparaged as vapid and undeserving or unknowing of what is true taste, when in reality, teenage girls are actually the tastemakers. Like, you're welcome for the Beatles. You're welcome for the Rolling Stones. You're welcome for Oasis.
You're welcome for Elvis.
Oasis does not want to admit that it was girls who liked them, but girls made boys listen to Oasis.
Those of you may have heard some pen writing ASMR, because my producer decided to write down.
I'm the producer of this episode.
Instead of...
Thank you. I love this.
Oh, we love pen writing ASMR.
Some pen writing ASMR instead of... Just saying.
Well, I didn't know. I thought I was trying to be secret, quiet in the background.
Let me just.
I like that.
Is it good?
I love that.
Cassie has to do a dumb nerd thing about ASMR.
You guys should.
Oh my god. I would lay down my life for Queen of Serene.
Until we get to that episode, have you ever met any of the members?
Cassie, it's up to you.
Yes, we were at Lollapalooza, and we were on the middle barricade for Ellie Goulding, because we had seen Haim at Lollapalooza in 2016. 2016, we'd seen Haim, who was the second to last, the penultimate act, and in the crush that happens after that to get to the front for the closer, we just got shoved 50 feet from the front along the barricade. Like, we just accidentally got like the fucking best spots for Ellie Goulding. And we knew, one, that Niall was there. And we knew, two, that he is personal friends with and a former fling of Ellie Goulding. Nice. And that they were still on very good terms. So we were like, oh my God, what if we see him? And during one of her songs, Candace just vice grips my bicep because she's pressed behind. It's Lollapalooza. So she's like,
yeah, I'm like behind Cassie.
Yeah, she's spooning me standing up. Oh. And so she vice grips my arms. And she was like, it's him. I can tell by his walk. He's wearing a little hat down over his eyes and like a really unassuming, like striped t-shirt and nice shorts, like super unassuming, but comes sauntering up the middle barricade because they had been like up on the side backstage with like his group of friends. Like, because we're in the fandom, we know that one of them is his cousin. We know one of them is his best friends, and then like a couple of girls. And we just freak out. I just screamed his name.
You screamed his name and you pointed at him as if to say, do you remember your name? I'm going to tell it to you. One of the best panic reactions of anyone I've ever seen in my life.
I might scream someone's name at them. Those were my options. We did walk back afterwards, and this girl took flash photos of him. And we were like, wow, that's so rude. She took flash photos of him. We just screamed his name and pointed at his face. To me, I don't think she even noticed me screaming at him because he was like,
not at all.
They were just A to point B. But then the next morning, our friend texts us and is like, so did you guys have fun at Lollapalooza? Did you see anyone? And we're like, yeah, we had super fun. She's like, no, here's this. And send us a picture of our heads circled that's like all the tabloids of like Niall Horan has fun in Chicago Lollapalooza, and it's Niall walking down the aisle. The girl who'd taken the flash photos had sold them to like the Mirror UK, and there's Candace and me in the background looking like our souls are leaving our bodies.
Oh my God.
At him.
Oh yeah, I think my face is like you know that gif from Top Chef of the chef going the wontons. That's my face in the picture.
Yes,
the wontons.
Yeah.
So it was like life made, and we knew we were there. And I remember freaking out to Cassie about it. I was thinking like, well, we're not going to see him probably because he's going to be in the VIP area, and we're going to be with the plebes and general admish. And so the fact that we actually got to see him was like the heavens opened up. I told you that it's up to you, Cassie.
What?
Anything can be edited out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's up to you guys, though.
It is okay. Another whale of a tale, but go for it, Cass.
Yeah.
Come on.
We can just cut if we don't want to include it. But so a year later. Around.
Not many people know this. We never talked about this on our blog.
Yeah. So we, by the end of our time in the fandom, we had like a pretty good following. And there, you know, like with anything, there's some negativity that goes around. And sometimes when people would tell their stories of having met one of the boys, they would get a lot of negative feedback. And we were just like, we don't really want to invite any of that. This was a really amazing thing that happened.
You hooked up with them?
Like, once.
No.
Not even close. My God. I might as well have been
it's okay.
A tile on the floor, but
so we decided not to share. I get it.
We only told a couple of our friends and like close people because it was a really special thing. But to summarize,
you guys shared with them.
Exactly. To summarize, one of my coworkers who knew I loved One Direction works at a really cool West Loop restaurant. And texted me while I was already out with my really good friend who loves Niall. Like, Niall is her favorite. She went to the stadium concert with us. She's one of my good friends. And she and I are out to dinner on a Tuesday night. And she and I have already each downed an entire bottle of rosé. And as we're signing the check, I get these texts from my coworker who's like, don't tell anyone, but you can come here and request this table because Niall and his entire band are here.
His solo band.
His solo band. And Niall wasn't scheduled to be in Chicago. This was a complete surprise. He had been like, he'd performed in like Canada or something random. Like he was not supposed to be in Chicago. So it was just totally out of the blue that they were here. And so I call and text Candace 8,000 times and Cameron and I haul ass over to this restaurant and we show up and we're like, okay, they'll be in a back corner. We'll maybe get a glimpse of them. We'll be sit down at the bar where tells us to have requested to sit. And they are like a table and a table away. Wow. Against the windows, like completely unassuming, just a group of five Irish guys, but Cameron and I know exactly who they are. Candace leaves in the leaves a date. She thinks I've died, says it's an emergency, which it was.
Yes.
Comes to us. Cameron and I are out of our minds drunk at
drunk.
This point.
drunk. And I'm thinking, like, they're just trying to get me to come out with them because they're wasted. And I was like, fine. And I get out of my lift and walk up to the bar and I'm like, I see them in the window being like, oh my fucking God. I'm about to shit my pants.
Our friend Beep has hot girl confidence. Like she's a hot girl TM and she has hot girl confidence. And she's like, Cassie, how do I go over there? Give me an excuse. And I was like, you need to ask them if there's a plug over there to plug in your phone charger.
Yes.
Nice. And she
Which
was
is
like,
brilliant, genius. By the way. That is brilliant.
So she does. She's like, she's going over there and it's like, oh, like looking at other tables, like, is there a charger? She goes over there, strikes up conversation and is talking to one of them. And at one point, I just hear like everything else is silent and clear as a bell. I hear her go, Cassie, Candace, come here, and like does the little like wave over there, and I think Candace just said, it's happening.
I said, it's happening, be cool. And he wasn't there, he had like gone to the bathroom or something, so when she waved us over it was just like the band, so I was like, maybe he's gone, I don't know, but I was still like shitting my pants.
Yeah, and we had told her to go over when he wasn't there.
Oh, and I'm stone cold sober and the two of them are wasted out of their minds.
Yeah. But anyway, we go over there and we talked to all of them and it was super fun. Niall, the table behind us had a birthday and they were like, do you want the rest of this cake? So Niall brings the cake over and makes us sing to our friend, happy birthday. It was just like, I don't know, probably 45 minutes to an hour total before they ended up leaving and just kind of like peaced out. And we were just like left in the ashes of just like, that's the most amazing thing, because it wasn't just Niall, it was his solo band who, because Candace and I are in the fandom, we like know who they are. It was like we hung out with all five of these Irish and English guys, just like having a super fun night. And wow. It like, it just never happens. Like of the all thing, people, that's of all
I know. It was so wild. And the thing that I think is still the coolest part, not about us, because I was being absolutely insane out of my mind. Like when I think back about that, I was like, I think that's like, I don't need to do drugs because I know what it is to be like having taken like, I don't know, like speed and heroin at the same time. Like that's how I felt. But the coolest thing is that we were pretending like we didn't know who they were and mm-hmm. they were not. Like, I feel like because some of the guys were trying to be like hitting on us, you know what I mean? In this way, like, oh, American girls, you know, coming over here to flirt. But they like, I even remember at some point I was like, so what are you guys all here for? Because obviously they're from not America. And they're like, oh, we're just hanging out. Like he could have been like, do you know who I am? And they could have mm-hmm. been like, do you know who we are? And they just like did it. And I looking back, I'm like, that's cool as like hell. That's cool as hell that you weren't like, oh. You know, I am Niall Horan. This is my band. Although Cassie said she did see him plunk his black Amex card back down on the bill, like it like hit the ground, like the one ring hits the ground in Lord of the Rings, just like thwunk.
Of the weight of his Amex, of just like.
The worst thing that I still have nightmares about is that, so before we went over there, Cameron had told me at the bar, she was like, I keep ordering drinks, but I can't drink them. I'm so wasted. Candace, if I get another drink, please drink my drink for me. Because I was really sober. You and Cameron were both so drunk. And I was like, okay, cool. And she had been over at the table for a while before she waved us over. So she sits down where Niall was sitting. She has a beer in front of her. So at one point I grab the beer out of her hand, or it wasn't even in her hand, it was on the table, but I grab it from in front of her and start to drink out of it because she told me to. Well, guess whose beer that actually was? It was Niall Horan's beer. And he yelled at me being like, "Hey, oi!" He literally said oi, which I was like, oh my God. He was like, "Oi, get off it." And I was like, forever I'm going to be that psycho American girl that he thinks just drinks other people's beers like a psycho. But I thought it was Cameron's beer. I would never do that. But I was so frozen of like the fact that he had looked at me that I was like, I can't make the words in which to say, "I'm so sorry. I didn't think that was yours." You like a normal person.
Oh yeah. My God, you kissed him.
I didn't even because he took it away, but I was like, oh my God, you think I'm some psycho girl who just drinks other people's drinks at a bar, which I am not. I was trying to do my friend a solid.
Yeah, what was that?
You were tickling her.
What was that like 45 minutes like hanging out with them?
Like I said, it was like being on speed and heroin at the same time.
I mean, what, you guys were just like chatting like you would chat with anybody? And
oh, sure. We were all like, we were pretending we didn't know who the fuck they were. So I was like, "Where are you from in Ireland?" I'm like talking with this sweet Muppet boy about like all the places I've been in Ireland and where he was from. And he goes, "Have you ever heard of Mullingar?" And that's the small city that Niall is from. And I still maintain that I deserve an Oscar for going, "No, where's that?" I'm sure it was a test. And I was like, "I don't know."
Why didn't you get any of their numbers at the end of that?
Well,
we will not share this part because it is not our story to tell.
No, it isn't. But
we saw Niall flirt with our friend.
Gotcha.
It was an out-of-body experience to watch him have the most amount of like smooth game I've ever seen someone have in my life. It was like, I almost wanted to be like, this is fantastic. The work that you're doing is fantastic.
It was not. Even if he had been a regular guy, I would have been like,
I would have been like, good job. Good job. Wow. At one point, he
sweep a girl off her feet.
At one point, the guy next to me, who I believe was also called Louis, was I talking to Louis? It was not Louis from One Direction, but one of his band members was also named Louis. And I think that's who I was talking to.
I think so.
Said, at one point he was kind of being flirty and he was like, "So who of us do you like the most?" And I almost said, "In the band," but I wasn't drunk. So I buttoned my words up and I went, "In the, at the table," you know, like totally trying to cover. Nice. But I also almost blew our cover because if I had said in the band, they would totally knew that we knew who they were.
Mm-hmm. Good save.
But yeah. it was an out of body experience. And absolutely. Afterwards, they left, and then we left, and we walked outside, and our friend Beep like literally sat on the ground with her head in her hands. And then our friend Beep called her sister because her sister is also a massive fan of One Direction. Is like, guess who we just met? It was like, looking back, I'm like, I can't believe that happened. And I think that's another reason why I was like, if we were to tell the full story on our blog, people would think we were lying.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because it doesn't sound like a real story. Like it sounds fake. It sounds like a fan fiction.
Yeah. That's
crazy. Like Wattpad fic, the night I met One Direction. Like that's what it sounds like. So
over there looking for a phone charger. And then she called us over and we hung out with them.
So his friend was sitting down, head in her hands. Snape walks over, starts consoling her, right? Yeah. And then Optimus Prime rolls up, and you guys hop in him, and he takes you out.
Yeah.
And then Bucky Barnes shows up, and he's like, "Girl, I'm so sorry. I understand pain."
He's got like a rainbow flag uniform on.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was also funny the next day, because people on our blog knew that we were from Chicago. The next day, somebody like, there's like a chat feature on Tumblr, kind of like, you know, Facebook Messenger. It's the funniest part. It's the funniest button of the story to me.
It is.
The next day, someone's like, "Did you know that Niall's in Chicago? He was out at a restaurant last night and then sent us a pic somebody else at the bar had taken where we are at the, in the picture, except for thank God our backs are too. You can see our friend Beep and you can see Niall, but like Cassie's back is in it. So thank God." And I was like, "Oh no, I didn't know. Ha 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 ha." LOLC.
That
like
is crazy.
This weird out-of-body experience that, like, somebody had sent us a picture of ourselves.
You guys were almost on, like, TMZ.
Like, honestly. Oh,
Niall's out in Chicago hitting the town with some Chicago ladies.
Chicago
ladies. So it was, like, definitely, like, but yeah, we didn't really share that out except for with a couple friends because we just, you know, felt like no one would believe us.
This is a dumb nerd thing. Exclusive. Incredible. I broke the story.
We finally sold the story for $1.
Yeah. If dollars. I see any money, the world will have been proven to be an unequal place.
It's also, it happened on the first day of my current job. So every time it's my work anniversary, I also know it's the anniversary of the day I met Niall Horan. So it's a double anniversary.
I'm sure he remembers you guys.
I'd like to know one thing first before we end, because I know Christine was making you listen to some songs, and I'd love to know, like, your thoughts on the songs that you heard. I don't really know the type of music that you normally listen to, as well, so I know, like, it's not everyone's thing, right? So, like, I won't be offended if you're like, I just don't really like pop music. But I'd love to know your thoughts, because I feel like a lot of people are sometimes surprised by some of the songs that they hear, both, like, their solo stuff and their 1D stuff.
Yeah, well, listen to,
please,
like,
note that Candace's background is Niall's face.
Wait, what's that?
The pillow in the background? That's right.
I should have shared this.
FYI.
This is a pillow. This is a pillow my very good friend from Wisconsin, who's also, all of our friends are hairy girls except for me and my one friend, Beep, who is my fellow Niall girl, and she bought me this pillow.
That's adorable. Wow.
So anyway, I'd love to know your thoughts.
Yes, we listened to a couple, and I don't know. I liked It's Still My Girl. I liked that. That was fun. It was a good. And there have been a couple other, like, hits that they have that I'm like, that's a good bop. I guess I have, like, a deep mistrust of, like, big pop bands with songs about, like, deep emotions. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if they're talking about love or, like, you know, relationships or troubles that they go through, I just naturally distrust them. That it's just, like, being written as, like, a marketing gimmick or, like, to hit different hit different metrics, hit different areas, you know.
I'm gonna write you a love song.
Yeah.
That's a good example of, I'm not gonna write you a love song because you asked for it.
It's a great example of that, Christine. That's
a great example of, exactly, I'm not gonna write you a love song because you need one.
That's right. You're right.
Although that song is about her saying F you to her label because they told her she needed more love songs on her album. And she said, I'm not going to do that. This is my album. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. So I think there.
And then she broke through.
That's just my own personal. Is this a personal wall I have in front of a lot of pop music, where I enjoy pop music more when it's more shallow. Almost. Like, I like the party songs and all that, but if it gets into more of those, like, appealing to love and emotion, I'd start to trust it. So maybe, I haven't heard a whole lot of it, though. I listened to
Olivia.
Mm-hmm. Wolves.
Wolves. The video of Wolves, where it's just all the little clips of dancing from different movies. It's pretty cute.
Serotonin.
Such a great song.
We listen to Never Enough. That's the one where they go, whoa, in the beginning.
One of the greats. I think what One Direction kind of brought back a little is, like, that stadium rock of the 80s, which is both being bombastic and poppy and a little cheesy, but also talking about like deep heartbreak, which I actually love. I love a pop song that is both a little silly and a little winks at itself, which I think a lot of One Direction songs does. It's like self-aware pop, especially later in their stuff. I think they know exactly what they're doing. And in that way, I think it's brilliant. Because they're writing these, you know, Where Do Broken Hearts Go, I think is the perfect example, where it's like this love ballad, but it's also like stadium, like 80s rock at its best. So yeah, I understand that. I think One Direction though does it really well in a way that they know exactly who they're writing for, they know exactly what they're doing, and they do it really, really well. And I think that's like what makes it great pop music.
That's what makes it beautiful.
That's what makes it beautiful.
I regret letting me talk out loud.
No, I love it.
Never. Everything has been perfect.
And I think too, I'm definitely a hypocrite with this because like I love a lot of like REO Speedwagon songs.
I was just thinking of REO Speedwagon, Ship Out to the Shore, Throwing Out the Door.
Yeah, where that's like, I think it's, I'm pretty far away from it, like both time and in all kinds of ways, so that I'm able to see it as just, I'm able to not take it very seriously at all, and enjoy it from that level. So I think maybe if I listened to their music with that sort of lens, I hadn't really considered that before.
I would encourage you to do so. And Four, their second to last album, ended up on a lot of the best albums of the decade list, for being exactly that, for being like, you know, the last great bastion of stadium rock, knowing who they're writing for, knowing what venues they're writing for, and doing it so, so, so well, while also having, you can hear their own voices and it's not so formulaic. You know, there are some songs on the album that will kind of surprise you, like Stockholm Syndrome, which is like this 80s kind of, like, Harry actually wrote that song and then on his solo tour ended up kind of reworking it a little to be like more of a 70s rock song. Because he's leaned into kind of like the Fleetwood Mac kind of vibe, at least on his first album. So yeah, I would encourage you to listen to it from the lens of like, it knows what it is. It's not trying to be anything that it's not. And I think in that way, it's just like brilliant.
Nice. So that's, what's the name of that album?
I would say four.
I thought you were listing like things you were gonna say, and we got to...
No. Sorry, four. It's four. But they also do it really well on "Made in the AM," which is their last album.
That's my
favorite. With songs like "Never Enough" and their bonus tracks like "Temporary Fix" is like just a great '80s pop like horny boys song. It's so great.
I forgot about
it. I call some of their songs boner jams because like they literally some songs are literally dedicated to boners. And you know what? They were young, virile boys, and God bless, they should have some songs about boners.
Yeah.
Every time you say four, I keep thinking of Huey Lewis in the News album called Four F-O-R-E !
Did not know that.
Wow.
I mean, that's AC/DC it. Had a song dedicated to their balls, right?
They do. Yeah. We who's got the biggest balls of them all?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, sure.
This is, well, I just want to, I'm curious. I don't know if this is like a parting question or what, but I would love to hear you talk about your thoughts on the idea of guilty pleasures and like do you feel like your love of One Direction is a guilty pleasure, and if you ever felt that way, like how did you, I don't know, I blah, that's the question.
So I don't really believe in the phrase guilty pleasures. And I haven't for a while, and some of that started with listening to the NPR pop podcast called Pop Culture Happy Hour.
Please don't plug other podcasts on my podcast.
Sorry.
It's called Vase Crash. Oh, my Vase. No.
I've never listened to any other podcasts but Dumb Nerd Thing. Anyway, they talk about it of like a thing that brings you pleasure that you enjoy is something that you should not feel guilty about. And that the construct of that guilt oftentimes comes from a patriarchal, misogynist society where things that women enjoy are typically the things that are painted as your guilty pleasure. Romance novels, rom-coms, pop music, girl groups, boy bands, fashion, shoes. Like,
the wine rosé has been now like, oh, women like rosé. This is so stupid if you drink, you know, stuff like that. It's so ridiculous.
Twilight,
sorry, keep going, Cassie.
Is not not too much worse than Harry Potter, like in terms of quality. Like,
I don't know about that. Okay, carry on.
I'm saying is that like Twilight got so much hate because it appealed to teenage girls, while Harry Potter got love because it appealed to a more general audience, but also like a lot of like boys. Twilight got a lot.
I think that's an interesting point.
Things that boys.
Well,
love.
I think so, and like when Twilight was coming out, people were like, "Ugh, these girls are just reading these books," and now Wuthering Heights is selling out because these girls are reading Twilight, and it's like, wait, I'm sorry. So you're saying that girls are stupid, but then you're angry at them for reading more, and now you're angry that they're stupid girls who want to read some of the classics from the Western canon. And so there's just like some hypocrisy and all of that that goes into calling something a guilty pleasure that I just take umbrage with. And so One Direction is not my guilty pleasure, and there's not a lot that I enjoy that you can shame me about. And I find that to be a sense of power and a sense of a source of confidence for myself that like, you can't make me feel ashamed of anything I like. So
it's only a guilty pleasure if you call it that. Yeah. If you yourself, it's only you can actually call it a guilty pleasure, because if you're not guilty about it, then it's not a guilty pleasure.
Correct. So I would say I have no guilty pleasures, but
yeah, I would say at the beginning I was a little more like, oh, I don't know if I want people to know this about me, but because I knew that other, not because I was necessarily like, this is a stupid thing, but like that, like people are going to be assholes about it because people have been told that they need to be assholes about it. And I think specifically with boy bands, and it's not just One Direction, it's like any kind of boy band where it's like Cassie talked about, it's kind of wrapped up in this patriarchal bow, because it's interesting that like boy bands are filling a need that like the patriarchy creates specifically for young girls, where young girls are told they're not good enough. They're not special. You're not pretty enough. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. So we're going to create this boy band where they're singing songs about how you are pretty enough. You don't know you're beautiful. You're special. You're the only one. Like we're marketing it specifically for girls because there's this insecurity that girls are brought up to have. Mm-hmm. So we create the demand, we fulfill the demand, and then we make fun of the girls for participating in consuming something that is helping to fill a void that we've created. It's like this disgusting cycle. And not to say that I think boy bands are disgusting, but I think it's interesting the amount of hate that specifically boy bands have always gotten. Starting with the Beatles, although then men come and hear the Beatles and were like, hey, they make good music. And women were like, yeah, we know. We've known. We've been saying this
for ages.
And it's interesting that happened with Harry Styles with me. For a guy, was like, so Harry Styles actually makes like really good music. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm aware I don't need you to mansplain Harry Styles to me.
Mansplaining Harry Styles is a very funny concept.
It is. And it's also, it happens, especially now that Harry Styles and Niall Horan are getting more like, more general acclaim for their music. I can see it happening. I can see, this thing of like, did you guys know? And it's like, I want more people to be fans of them, but it always comes at this price of like, what girls, and I'm not saying just girls are consuming this and have been, but what mostly like young women and women have known are suddenly it's like, no, but you don't know because now this is ours. Like there's always this ownership, I think. And I've experienced it on other fandoms I've been in. I was raised on like Star Trek. My dad and I watched a lot. Whenever I tell men that, they're like, but are you really a fan? What have you seen? Who's your favorite character? Like there's this gatekeeping that happens in a lot of traditionally masculine fandoms. And so I think there's something also that feels safe about a feminine fandom where you feel like no one's going to do that to me when I go to a One Direction concert. no one's going to sit there and be like, are you really a fan though? Because you know someone's a fan because they're at the concert. And it's like, oh my gosh, I love your outfit. You're dressed like Harry Styles. This is amazing. I love your shoes. I love your makeup. Like, it feels like such a safe space in a way that, like, sometimes it's like a lot of the more masculine fandoms that I have participated in or I've been a part of, I don't feel as safe in that space. Mm-hmm. So there's also a little bit that wants to keep it for us. As much as I want them to succeed and get more popular and to get the acclaim. So I went on a big long rant, but just to say that boy bands, I think for girls have been like a safe space. Mm-hmm. And it's hard when people like shit on your safe space and make fun of you for something that makes you feel happy and makes you feel good, makes you feel like pure joy and brings you to other friends and connects you with people and just like this pure love of music that young girls have, this like this unafraid, unashamed, just like crying at a concert. Like, what's more pure than that? Like, what's more pure than crying at a concert because you're so happy to be there?
Yes.
Like, that is true fucking fandom. And I really hate when people make fun of young girls for the stuff that they love. It's so crappy. And
you know
so
what you gotta do now though. Now when you see a guy in a Harry. When you see a guy in a Harry Styles shirt, you go up to him and you quiz him. You say, "Do you?
Are
even,
you really?
Do you even know?
Can you
which
name
Ninja
five
Turtle?
1D funny moments?
Do you even know which Ninja Turtle he is? Do you even know
what Ninja Turtle is he? You're never gonna guess it. You're never gonna guess.
You're
it.
Never gonna know.
Yeah, you got. You just gotta gatekeep your community.
Yeah,
you gotta be the gatekeepers. I think that's absolutely. And I think it's weird too that like. Like, there's this, there's always the critique of boy bands of being like corporate stooges, you know, when, okay, anyways, when,
see the Pussycats. It's a movie, you must see, it's about that, continue,
when there's this idea of them being corporate stooges, when I'm sure, like, looking at, I mean, you look at any mass-produced product, it's a, like a corporate design. It's like designed for the capitalist market. Like, it's what they all are. But it's only uniquely, like, made a criticism of boy bands or things that women traditionally like. So it's interesting that that only comes out at that part. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's interesting too, because like Cassie said before, like the amount of consumer space that like young women like create and take up in a market is so vast that it's like Harry Styles merch single-handedly is like saving the economy. Like, I don't understand why he's so mad about this. Like young women are putting their dollars out there. They spend things on, you know, what they love. And it's so interesting to me. I was at my nonprofit, Justin Vernon and Bon Iver asked our nonprofit to be like their sponsored nonprofit for the night. So I was there like at a table, and it was so interesting to me to be at this concert, because like when you go to a Harry Styles or a Niall Horan concert, this interesting thing happens where people like dress up. They're either in the band merch, that's cool now to wear the band merch like on the night. It didn't used to be cool, it's cool now. Or they're dressed like the artist they're gonna see. And it happens a lot, and it's really interesting. And I used to think like, oh, you know, people would make fun of girls for this, but when I was at the Bon Iver concert, literally every person was in a plaid shirt and a beanie and like Timberlands. And I was like, oh, everybody does this to see their favorite artist. That's so cool. Like just a bunch of sad white guys, like having sad sex in the bathroom. Like it's funny because we had condoms at our table. So I was like, yeah, take the condoms, have sad sex after the Bon Iver concert. Like it's fine. So I was like, everybody does this, but for some reason we only target the bands that are not cool or not prestigious enough. They don't have the acclaim.
Is that a thing about Bon Iver? Is that it's about people have sad sex to his songs?
Oh,
or sad solo sex.
It's all about being sad and horny.
Mom, stop listening. I lost my virginity listening to Bonnie Man.
Did you?
Were you dressed in a plaid?
It was fine. It was not
were
sad.
Were you wearing a beanie and a plaid shirt?
No, but there were candles.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, I'm a responsible young man.
That's sweet. No,
apparently it was sad.
It was just interesting because I was pointing out to people, I was like, the last couple big arena concerts I went to were like, people were running around and they were so excited and they were like, oh my gosh. And at this concert, everyone was like, yeah, it's chill. I'm here to see Bon Iver. So I felt like the atmosphere was a little more muted. So I felt like if anyone was going to be banging in the bathroom, they were going to have very like muted, more introspective sex at a Bon Iver.
Also, Bon Iver music is very sad sometimes.
It is. It's
tender.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It's a great concert.
I like Bon Iver, but
yeah, it's a great concert.
He's a tender lover.
Yeah.
He was playing for me. That's who. I don't want to say names, but that's who I lost my opportunity to. It's Bon Iver.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I know.
That's big name. That's exciting. I'm sure he was very, very sweet.
Bon Iver is a guy?
Well, you know.
Well, when you say Bon Iver, I assumed you meant every member of the band was there.
Band?
Good winter.
Wait, is this real or is this a bit? Oh, thank God. Okay, I had a moment. I was like, wait, I don't know what we're doing anymore.
It is a bit.
Bits on bits.
Yeah, we have full
bets
here.
I was saying, I think your ending question too is how to get into them.
Yes, great question.
So, Cassie, you jump into, but I think, I know a lot of people don't like James Corden, so I understand that. However, some of their most charming bits as a band outside of music are like stuff they've done with James Corden. So like, They did a segment on James Corden called Tattoo Roulette, where they all like, it's like one of my favorite videos. And like at the beginning of the pandemic, when I was super sad, I watched it like every day for a week because I was like, what's better than watching Tattoo Roulette with One Direction, where they all just basically played this game where the person who lost had to get a tattoo on live air. And they're all just being very charmingly themselves. Billy Crystal is also there, which is a great little addition of like Billy Crystal interacting with One Direction. It's great. Also, their carpool karaoke is very, very cute and very charming.
The dodgeball video.
The dodgeball on James Corden is also very, very fun. They did a lot of this stuff after Zayn left. Oh, no. Did she just like...
Don't worry about it.
Break a play. They did a lot of stuff on James Corden after Zayn left, I think, to show that they were still like a united band. And then again, I would say for people who really, I'll admit that their first album, I never listened to anything off their first album, but What Makes You Beautiful, I'm not a super big fan of the rest of the songs. I think it's a lot of filler. Just my personal opinion. So I think for people who are like wanting to get like kind of dip their toes into their music, I'd also say start with like the last two albums. But I will also say their third album has some great stadium rock, pop rock. And their second album has just like some pure pop bops on there that are super, super fun. So I would say, yeah, just watch a couple of things. They're very charismatic. They're very funny. They're very charming. And if you're into pop rock and pop music, I think people would really love some of their songs.
I don't think in good conscience I can allow a promotion of James Corden on my show, but it's okay.
I said people don't really like James Corden, but they are charming despite people's dislike of James Corden.
Okay. That's a lot of charm. That takes a lot of charm.
It's a lot of charm.
We have lost
Cassie. I think Cassie might have gone away. Cassie!
We'll get word from her another time. We'll get a sign off from her another time. But I really appreciate you coming on. You, both of you, even though Cassie's not here. But coming on to talk about One Direction.
Yeah, truly, thanks for having us. It was so fun.
Truly dumb nerds. For
yes.
The stupidest, dumbest nerds of all time.
We love to see it.
I own
it's
it.
So wonderful.
Well, you're welcome back on the show anytime. I'd love to talk about Star Trek. I've been watching The Next Generation. And that's the only one I've watched.
Although I do, I think I like, okay, so I love Next Gen so much, but like Voyager has such a place in my heart because of Captain Janeway. Like she
Let's save it for the episode.
All right, sorry.
Let's save it. That's a teaser for a future episode.
But I do love Star Trek and I would love to talk about it. That's
sweet. Sweet. All right.
Also Buffy. I'm a big Buffy fan as well.
Oh my God. Nice. My friends are the dumbest nerds. I love them.
Multi-layered.
We are.
Multifaceted.
Supreme mega babe dumb nerds. What more could you want?
Where can people find your blog again?
Oh, so we are adult fans of One Direction, spelled out the whole thing on Tumblr. So if you go on Tumblr and search us, sometimes we have a lot of followers on Tumblr. And sometimes if you even go on Tumblr and type in One Direction, we'll be one of the top Rex blogs to follow.
Oh, cool.
Because sometimes they'll wreck you some blogs at the top. And or you can find us on our Twitters. Cassie's a lot better at Twitter than I am. But she's chat pod. Oh, you're back.
I'm back.
My Twitter's dumb. You don't have to follow me, but Cassie, you can rep your Twitter. Your Twitter's really funny.
Please do follow me on Twitter. It's ChassPod. That's ChassPod. ChassPod.
Nice. Yes. All right.
Cool. I'm much funnier on Tumblr, so I'm there for my jokes.
Cool. Well, yeah, I was just saying I appreciate y'all coming on to talk about One Direction. I know so much more now about the band, and I came in knowing nothing, so this is great.
That's my whole
thank
mission.
Thank you for having an open mind about it, too, and understanding, like, being cool and open to learning more about it.
Absolutely. That's all big, dumb nerds in this big, dumb world. We got to stick together.
And it's, like, last thing I'll say is, like, there's so few good things right now in the world that just let people have what makes them happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just let people have it.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Like, truly ask yourself who it's hurting. No one.
All right.
Love it.
Great parting words. Wise words.
Thank you.
And don't forget, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always email me at dumbnerdthing@gmail.com. Or leave a review on iTunes.